I'd like to say that we tend to be the antithesis of a typical marketing agency. We have a beautiful team of 14, a global team. Four ladies are here locally and the rest are international. I don't hire based on anything except for talent. And our team is truly a servant leadership, white glove organization. Our company phone number is text enabled. Our clients text us all day long and all of us see it. We serve our clients to the very best of our ability. No one is in a standard package of services that we do exactly the same for another client. While we do have the fundamental elements of a traditional marketing agency, we follow best practices for SEO, paid media, branding, social media. Of course, we have our set packages, but we consultatively meet with every new client, establish their business goals, and then create a unique a la carte menu that marries our capabilities with their goals. We work with them in 90-day intervals to ensure that their goals are being met.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications to help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Hey there, Freddie D here. In this episode 85, we're joined by Amber Gage, who is a third-generation entrepreneur, certified story brand guide, and the founder of Far Beyond Marketing. Growing up in a family of business owners, Amber learned early the values of resilience, hard work, and adaptability, qualities that have shaped her journey into becoming a sought-after marketing strategist over the past 15-plus years. She has worked across industries like home services, construction, SaaS, beauty, health, manufacturing, and more, helping businesses simplify marketing and build systems that create steady growth. Amber is the creator of the four C's of effective marketing, a proven framework that has transformed hundreds of businesses nationwide. She's also the author of the international bestseller, The Far Beyond Marketing Guidebook, and a speaker known for making marketing accessible, strategic, and even a little fun. If you're an entrepreneur looking for clear, actionable advice to grow your business with confidence and purpose, especially if marketing has felt overwhelming, you're in for a real treat today. Welcome, Amber Gage, with Far Beyond Marketing to the Business Superfans Podcast. We're excited to have you here. Welcome, Amber.
I am thrilled to be here, Frederick. Thanks for having me.
So, tell us a little bit about your backstory. How did Far Beyond Marketing come about? What's the story?
Oh my goodness, what a journey it has been. So my story is one of school of hard knocks. I actually have a background in international travel and music, but I was born into an entrepreneurial family, a very humble entrepreneurial family. My parents have four businesses that are all successful now, but in my childhood, none of them were successful. They started with three children and no customers and very little money. So growing up, I was raised to value a dollar and to work very, very hard. So in my background of watching my parents grow businesses out of our home, to eventually finishing high school early, to traveling the world, I would never be in business for myself because I wanted to sing internationally. And then coming full scale back to work in the family business, only then to start my own business, sell it to private equity, work in private equity, and then relaunch my brand after becoming a mom. So it has been a twisted and eventful journey that has brought me to where I am today, and that is to serve clients to the very best of my ability with marketing that actually works and to help them achieve their goals.
How did international travel formulate your mindset on marketing and the world of business?
I think everyone should travel internationally if they can. We take so much for granted when we become self-centric. And international travel allows us to experience not only different cultures, but different people. You get to see that there are many different ways of accomplishing the same goals. You become open-minded to different perspectives and different cultures. You become tolerant and respectful of people that look and sound different from you. All of these things are hugely important, whether you're a solopreneur or an entrepreneur, or as I was, an international traveling business executive for many years. I believe that there is strength in diversity and power in respecting our differences.
Oh, absolutely. Because I was in charge of global sales and I was in Japan at a trade show demonstrating our product. I had a master distributor that was interested because they would have had the ability to market our technology throughout all of Japan.
Mm.
They loved the technology. We talked about the technology, the contract, the business potential and everything else, but we were never going anywhere. I was spinning my wheels. I was in Australia meeting with one of my resellers there, Paul. We're at DY Beach at a restaurant, and I'm going, Paul, what am I doing wrong? It's been 6 months we've been talking with these guys, and they say they're interested, but nothing ever happens. They told me, what are you talking about? I was talking about the business potential, the contract, the product, the technology, and all that stuff. He goes, shut the heck up about that stuff and ask more about them, their culture, and everything else. I'm like, huh? Really? So the next time I went there, I said, okay, tell me a little bit more about Japan. Show me around. So they took me around and gave me a tour and everything else. And then they came here to Arizona. We met in our office in Scottsdale, had a 2-hour meeting. And the rest of the day, I got them in the car and took them around the whole valley, showed them around. They took pictures, did a multitude of different things. And then they went back and said, we'll get back to you. 2 months later, I ended up getting the contract back and an order for $200,000 because I got myself out of my own way and I started to look at it from their perspective.
I love that. And you experienced a win-win because of that. Two very important themes you just hit on. Get yourself out of the own way and look at it from their perspective. Hugely important.
Yep. So let's go into a little bit of a deeper dive into what differentiates Far Beyond Marketing versus other marketing agencies.
I'd like to say that we tend to be the antithesis of a typical marketing agency. We have a beautiful team of 14, a global team. 4 ladies are here locally and the rest are international. I don't hire based on anything except for talent. And our team is truly a servant leadership, white glove organization. Our company phone number is text enabled. Our clients text us all day long and all of us see it. We serve our clients to the very best of our ability. No one is in a standard package of services that we do exactly the same for another client. While we do have the fundamental elements of a traditional marketing agency, we follow best practices for SEO, paid media, branding, social media. Of course, we have our set packages, but we consultatively meet with every new client, establish their business goals, and then create a unique a la carte menu that marries our capabilities with their goals. We work with them in 90-day intervals to ensure that their goals are being met. We have a very high retention rate, but everyone knows that they are not happy. They still own all of their assets. We make no claims on their website or their profiles. Everything is work for hire. They can get out at any time. We really strive to be absolutely customized in the deliverables because every company is different and the life cycle of every business is different. We want them to win at the stage that they come to us and need to make some solid accomplishments.
Yeah, because it's important to, you know, things pivot, things change, and you guys are re-engaging with their customers every 90 days. It's really important because in their business, things could have gone in a different direction and you can adjust, pivot, tweak, et cetera. So that's really important because when I was running a particular company several years ago, the marketing agency we had in place before it took over, nobody really checked into them. We kept getting an invoice, no reports, no idea of what was taking place. And finally, I called these people in and said, where's our data? Where's the analytics? What's happening? And we're paying this money. And they couldn't produce anything. So I ended up getting rid of them because we had no data and the money was going out the door. We got a different agency and that completely changed the game for the company. We ended up redoing the website 2 times. The people doing it before, horrible. Then we redid it and it was better. But then we redid it one more time because it needed a couple of evolutions to really get the message I wanted for the company. And that's what I was able to scale the company by $1 million in a year. And position it for sale was the fact that we changed the whole branding, the whole messaging, everything else to change the whole dynamics of a business that's been around for 30 years.
I love that. And you saw it with fresh eyes and you were able to look at the client's goals and look at where they wanted to go and really give it the lift that it needed. I mean, with $1 million sales improvement, I would call that a win.
Yep. Yeah, and this was a small chunk deal because this is an interpreting and translation company. So we're not talking $5,000 deals. We're talking $200 or $100 deals at a time. But the whole messaging changed and my focus was on what I would call attraction marketing. So that when people look at the site, I look at the website today as a validator of who you are as a business. More people go to it to say, okay, is this business really as good as I hear it is? And the site is the validation with the testimonials and everything else.
You're right. It really is an online business card of who you are and what you do. And most people bounce off of a website, statistically speaking, 4 seconds or less. If they can't tell what you do and how it's going to benefit them, they're out. So could you imagine how maddening that would be if you're spending thousands of dollars a month to drive traffic to a website only to have them bounce off without the opportunity to interact?
And if you don't track that, you have no clue.
Absolutely. Yes. It baffles me how frequently people have no idea what's going on their website. We partner with a brilliant consumer data scientist. And through her pixel, we're able to offer our clients real-time insights every 30 seconds about who's coming to their website and what pages they're visiting. This is the kind of data that AI and real-time machine learning is making possible. The game of marketing is changing.
Oh, it's totally changed. And you've got to be able to adjust and tweak and pivot and adjust again, as I said. And because, like you just said, people are coming and you've got the data right there. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be able to analyze that data and then put that data into play.
Make real-time informed decisions. That's what I tell our clients all the time. Gone are the days of the Wizard of Oz style of marketing. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. That used to be what people expected from their marketing agencies. People expect more now. They expect full transparency to understand what you're doing with their dollars and how it's benefiting their business operations.
Yeah, because back then, my first website that I did when I was in charge of global sales was in 1997 with Microsoft Front Page.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're talking way back. Yeah. The website was horrible that the company had, and I got the job to be in charge of global sales. So I went in and said, well, I can't screw it up. So I redid the site. And then some of our distributors said, hey, who redid the website? I said, I did. So I had a part-time gig because they all wanted me to redo their websites.
Uh-huh.
At the time, it was really just a business card. The mindset back then was that you at least had to have a website that described what you were doing. And that was it. There was no more strategy beyond just being out there so people could read, oh, okay, this business has a website. This is what they do. Great, fine. That was it. So as you just described, Amber, it's completely changed in 25 years, actually 28 years.
Well, let's not even get started on the impact of Yellow Pages versus online listings and what happened in the industry when Google My Business was introduced and the metamorphosis of Google Business Profiles. The shift from print to digital to now AI has been just honestly a paradox. And those who early adopt survive and thrive. And those who get intimidated and dig in their heels quickly lose market share.
God, Yellow Pages. I used to have an ad in the Yellow Pages because I used to own a commercial office cleaning business when I was in my teens.
Look at you, a serial entrepreneur.
So, yeah, that was, wow, I forgot about those guys.
You were another young entrepreneur whose parents probably said, go make some money for yourself. I was 8. I made the mistake of asking for a puppy. And I had to write a letter to my dad, the banker, to borrow money to buy a puppy. And then I had to turn it into a dog breeding business. I got to keep a puppy, though. So that was good.
There you go.
Never ask your parents for a puppy.
Yeah, we got a German Shepherd 2 years ago, and he's been a cool dude.
My Rottweiler is my baby. He weighs more than I do, but he's the best dog I've ever owned.
He's our kid. He comes into bed with us and all that stuff. Life-changing.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I spent a lot of time singing over in Europe, like I told you before the call. And so my dog's name is Avik Von Sentry from My Eternal Guardian.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, we call our dog Gaston. French name.
Very appropriate. I love
it. He's that type of a guy. He's a Gaston kind of guy.
Gaston, yeah. He's so regal.
Yeah. Share a story of a company that you guys walked into and was a train wreck, and you in turn transformed them.
Let's see. For the sake of privacy, I will omit names. We really specialize in working with a couple of subsets of businesses. Entrepreneurs will always be my people because of my family background. And a subset of entrepreneurs is franchisees, because I find that many men and women buy into a franchise system under the promise of a business in a box. And effectively, what happens is they buy themselves a vocation, but they have grossly overlooked the challenge of getting that business launched, leveraged, growing. In this example, I'll tell you about an entrepreneur or a franchisee who had entrusted their marketing to two different parties. One was the franchisor and the internal support system of the franchisor's marketing team. And the other was a large national agency that was an approved vendor of the franchisor. All seemed to be fine until a Google algorithm change happened. They lost their accreditation on Google Business Profile. They lost their Google Local Search ads, which was 90% of their inbound leads. They were not well diversified in their local marketing. So apart from being listed on Google, nobody was finding them because no one had talked to them about guerrilla marketing, as they talk about in Marketing is War by Reason Trout. Great book, by the way. No one had talked to them about the importance of diversifying online presence of paid ads, SEO, blogs, backlinks. They had just talked to them about Google. So when we stepped in, this company was down, absolutely down, probably 45% down year over year and just really struggling. We met with them, reassured them that we would work with them to get them diversified and up and going. It took a whole month to clean up the mess of very poorly cobbled together Google Business Profile and online optimization. We cleaned it up. We finally wrestled away the access of their website from the national agency that had it under lock and key, and were able to access the back end, clean up the meta tags, clean up the SEO, clean up the keywords, get the client access to an asset that they had paid over $10,000 for. This is your business asset. How do you not have the keys?
I mean, it's mind-boggling how some agencies do that, because I had a digital marketing company for a while, and that was often the situation where people were locked out of their assets, as you just described. And more importantly, it was held as hostage. They wanted thousands of dollars to get what they already paid for.
It does baffle me. I can't believe you don't know what you don't know. As a business owner, you're great at providing a product or service. You shouldn't have to be a marketing expert to know that you need to ask for your GoDaddy credentials as well as your WordPress credentials. Who thinks that?
True. It's one of the things that agencies like yourself have the credibility and the character to be transparent and share. Here's the data that we set up for you. Here's your information, and it's yours. You own it. I want to make sure you've got it. But if anything happens, if I get hit by a bus, you're covered.
That's what we tell every client, every single client. Some appreciate it, some take it for granted. But those who have been burned certainly appreciate it.
So let's go on with the story. Yep.
Yeah. So to wrap up the story, after about 3 months worth of work, the leads started flowing. We had consistent leads. Their dispatch board was full. They were diversified across the internet. We had updated their website and their landing pages for optimal conversions. We had story branded their business so that people now knew better what they did and how they did it underneath the guidelines of the franchisor. And they're thriving. But it took a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get them back on track.
So you could say that those guys are super fans of how you transform their business.
I think we could call them super fans for sure.
Yeah, because super fans are, it takes work to create them. But once you've created super fans, they're the biggest marketing force you could have because they blow away all the digital marketing aspects and everything else because it's social proof. When someone is telling their friends and everybody they know that you're the agency to deal with for marketing needs.
The owner of that company called me on the phone because all of my clients have my cell phone number. He said, I want 10 copies of your book and I want at least 50 business cards because he was going to the convention. And he said, every fellow franchisee needs to talk to you.
That's a diehard super fan.
Let's
talk about your book.
It's the Far Beyond Marketing Guidebook, How to Stop Being Duped by Bad Marketing. And
I like that.
Intended to be a guidebook for busy business owners who don't have time to learn how to market, who just need a back pocket guide to understanding the basics of marketing, and they need a roadmap to grow their business effectively. International bestseller in 4 countries. We have an e-course based on it as well. And I do keynote speaking all over the United States to help business owners implement the 4 C's of effective marketing.
And what are the 4 C's?
The first C is clear copy, how to talk about your business in a way that people will listen and understand what you do. The second C is consistent branding, knowing how and where to brand your business and to keep it consistent. Don't get distracted by all the pretty colors and fonts. If you confuse, you lose. The third C is customer demographic. Who is actually your customer? Should you niche down or not? What products or services are you offering to help your customer? And the fourth C is channel management. How do you establish a rinse and repeat so that you can serve those valuable customers again and again, avoiding a turn 'em and burn 'em approach?
I like that. Because there is a mindset of churn and burn, which is transactional. And that does not create super fans. The super fans are the people that are passionate about your business and what you've done for them. And it really stems back to a company culture. I believe that if you have a dynamic team that's energized, happy about where they're working, they're excited about what they do, that energy transcends to prospective customers as well as existing customers. And that becomes attractive, and more importantly, it becomes contagious.
Yeah.
And so now you've got your team that's energized, empowering customers, suppliers, distributors, all stakeholders, the whole ecosystem of a business. That's transformative and provides more marketing power than any money you could ever have spent on marketing.
100%. And you're right. It is such a company culture. I tell my project management team every week in our meetings, we're either far beyond or we're not. We have to be far beyond our clients' expectations and far beyond just marketing. Your culture of your company and how you serve your clients needs to exude in everything you do, from picking up the phone to writing your emails, to the fulfillment of the most grueling services, because people can tell when you make it about you versus them.
Exactly. And that goes back to leadership in a company.
Huge.
And you having the international background, and you mentioned that part of your team is international, you have a different perspective on things. So you empower your team because they're thousands of miles away. But you have to have the effective management style
yes.
that engages with them, empowers them, recognizes them. One of the quotes in my book is, people will crawl through broken glass for appreciation and recognition.
That's so true, isn't it?
Think about it. And it's global.
Absolutely. It transcends culture.
Doesn't matter.
I tell my team every day on Slack, you are loved, you are prayed for, you are appreciated. Have a great shift.
My other saying is, the little things are the big things.
True.
If you think about it, the little things, saying thank you, I appreciate you. Thanks for the extra effort. Thanks for working through the weekend on this particular project. I know you didn't have to, but you did. And that changed the outcome.
Yes, absolutely true. I try to teach my 8-year-old that. I hope it sticks.
So what are the things that, let's come up with a couple takeaways for our listeners. What are some of the things that people should look for when they're looking at an agency?
Well, the first thing you should look for is transparency, like we've already talked about. Is it work for hire? Because everything that they do for an entrepreneur should be owned and retained and controlled by the entrepreneur. The entrepreneur should be the one, the business owner, the business operator. It doesn't have to be an entrepreneur. You know what I mean?
Right.
They should retain the steering wheel. And anytime you can kick anybody off your bus. Same way in life. You either get the privilege of being on the bus or you don't. So I would say it's the same thing for an agency. The second thing I would say is, how complicated is the contract? Are you absolutely locked into a contract regardless of the results that you're going to get? I mean, that's not such a good deal. And you need
right.
to figure out what the opportunities are for holding them accountable for their deliverable. Then an agency that doesn't want to be held accountable for deliverables may not be the best long-term partner for you.
Right.
Yeah.
How often should an entrepreneur / business owner check on what's going on?
Well, I think you mean with their marketing specifically? I think it's the best partnerships are the ones that have great communication, right? Our project managers are talking to our clients daily, seeing how things are going in their business. We might have a couple clients that say, don't bother me, and I'll just talk to you at our monthly calls. So I would say at minimum, a monthly call to check in on the metrics and see how things are performing month over month. But really, you should have an open, transparent relationship with your marketing partner so that as things are changing in your business, you have some controls that you can pull on as needed.
And you can see what's happening. So you can make pivots and adjustments because everything is Google, wait 5 minutes and they change the algorithm.
It's so true. Dashboards are a huge thing. Making sure that you have access to real-time data and dashboards for every aspect of your marketing, whether it's SEO or paid ads or website analytics.
And people focus on Google, but everybody seems to forget that there's this other big search engine called Bing.
YouTube actually one day eclipsed Google searches.
Wow. So
there's all kinds of things that are impacting Google's monopoly.
So it's really important to make sure that you're in all the places that you need to be and making sure that you're engaging with your audience in an authentic way.
Hugely important. Love that.
So, Amber, as we come closer to the end here, do you have another story that you can share?
I actually have a story of a precious marketing manager who asked to join our team because she loved being a client so much that when her life circumstances changed and she found herself looking for another job, I was the first phone call she made. And she said, it was such an amazing experience being a client of Far Beyond that I just wondered if you had any openings for someone like me. And we hired her.
What you just did there, I'm going to package it in my verbiage, is you had created a super fan of her for the services you had provided her to the fact that she wanted to become part of your team. Think about that. You know, how transformative that was, that you've empowered that particular individual to want to become part of your organization.
Yeah.
So she's got to be your biggest fan.
She's phenomenal. You know, she really does a great job.
There you have it. Yeah. What I say?
Culture is everything, isn't it?
It is. It is. So, Amber, how can people find you? How can they connect with you?
Oh, we'd love to connect with your listeners any way that's convenient for them. We're on social media, all the platforms. Far Beyond Marketing is probably listed. We have a strong presence on LinkedIn. Our website is farbeyondmarketing.com. You can get a copy of our book, The Far Beyond Marketing Guidebook, or Amazon. If you're interested in learning how to market your business, you can sign up for our course on farbeyondmarketing.com, The Entrepreneur's Toolkit. Learn how to market your business.
Excellent. Great conversation, Amber. Lots of tidbits for our listeners and insight. We definitely look forward to continuing the conversation down the road and having you on the show again.
I would love to come back. Thank you so much for having me, and Kit's Mr. Guest for me.
All right. Thank you, Amber. Hey, superfan superstar, Freddie D here. Before we wrap, here's your 3A playbook: attract, advocate, and accelerate your business. Power move for today. Here's this episode's top insight. The brands that survive and thrive are the ones that make customers feel something unforgettable, because loyalty isn't bought, it's earned through emotion. So here's your business growth action step. Craft a bold promise that stirs emotion and review every customer touchpoint this week to ensure it reinforces that promise with absolute consistency. If today's conversation sparked an idea for you, share it with a fellow business leader who would benefit and grab the full breakdown in the show notes. Let's accelerate together and start creating business superfans who not only champion your brand, but accelerate your growth.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Business Superfans podcast. If you found today's conversation valuable, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share this episode with someone who could use these powerful insights to level up their business. Remember, creating business superfans isn't just about your customers. It's about fostering genuine, impactful connections across your entire business ecosystem. When you invest in those relationships, success doesn't just happen, it accelerates. Until next time, I'm your host, Freddie D. Let's keep building superfans, creating unstoppable momentum, and driving your business toward extraordinary success. See you in the next episode.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to businesssuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.